Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's MPL show, the official radio show dedicated to the Northern Premier League. And we start this week's show with a big, massive disclaimer. Some significant news coming out of Radcliffe FC on Friday afternoon, and that is the news that manager Jonathan Macken has stepped down from the club with immediate effect. Sending our best wishes to everyone at Radcliffe and to Jonathan Macken, always a cracking guest when he comes on the show. And we'll have more on this announcement probably on next week's show, but we've not really had enough time this week to reflect this big announcement from Radcliffe, who had a great first half to the season and enjoying life at Step 3. But we'll have more on that next week. But just a big disclaimer on this week's show. All the interviews you're about to hear were recorded very much before this big announcement from Radcliffe. But without further ado, it's now time to hand over to Ben with the original show we had in mind this week. So, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show, the official radio show dedicated to the Northern Premier League. I'm Ben, and down the other end of the phone for this opening bit of the show, we should be joined by the wonderful Mr. James Hayes. James, how are you?
Evening, Ben.
Oh, that's tonight. Right. Hello, everyone. Hello, James. Right. Also coming up on this week's show, we're going to have some thoughts from Michael Clegg at Ashton United, Curtis Woodhouse at Gainsborough Trinity, Chris Hardy at Whitby Town, and Mark Fell from Lancaster City. And later in the show, we're going to have a fixture preview for this weekend's big matches in the Northern Premier League Premier Division, as we're going to be wishing a Happy New Year to Mr. Mark Carruthers, presenter of the North East Non-League Football Show. But James, welcome back to the weekly show. Feels like we've not had this in ages, have we? Because of Christmas and New Year getting in the way. But we're back now.
Well, except for the two shows over Christmas. But yeah,
they were just throwaway, though. This is the proper weekly show. Back in your face and in your ears. Anyway, right. So let's talk about some of the weekend's football that's just gone. And we should start off talking about the FA Trophy. Big commiserations to FC United and Matlock Town getting through to the second round, but a bridge too far in the end, especially FC United going up to Barrow.
Yeah, I mean, we said this with Avon Colliery's game in the replay. It's always going to be a tough ask going up to Barrow. Bit of rough on them there to come away with a 7-0 defeat, but from what I've read there, the fans didn't really care. They were just there for a good afternoon out, weren't they?
And like I keep saying, we're FC United just here for a good time this season. And just to say, the pies, sensational at Barrow, but I'm happy to report Gossip North End, still the best pies in non-league football. Just to throw that out there. Little doff me cap there to the coaching staff at Gossip North End, who can't speak highly enough of. And for Matlock, again, a bit, they were slightly more closer to getting a result.
Yeah, they came back into the game a little bit as well, with Marcus Marshall getting a goal late, halfway through the second half. But again, you can see the two division gap there had a little bit of a say, and this one could go either way with both teams off form. But easily, I think it's just a divisional gap there. But Matlock, what goal they gave at the same time there, and obviously good opportunity there to start a good run in the league.
Well, that's what Steve Kitchick said last week, wasn't it? He wanted replicating in the league and a bit of a springboard there. So congratulations to FC United and Matlock for getting that far. But it is now well and truly back on the league. FC United travelling to Whitby Town on Saturday. More on that later, as we'll be joined by Chris Hardy. And Scarborough Athletic will be welcoming Matlock Town. Right, let's talk about some results then from the league. Some big results from last weekend. Firstly, South Shields remain 3 points up at the top. They were 5-2 winners over Micklethwaite Sports, but it does have to be said, Micklethwaite Sports got back into this game, didn't they? And on 73 minutes, they made it 2-2. So quite a closing 15 minutes there from South Shields.
Yeah, the main talking point for not one there was Stephen Gonzalez. 2 goals on his home debut, I believe, for South Shields in that match as well. What a way to welcome to a crowd of 1,500 people, especially coming up to the game this weekend with Lancaster.
Yes, it's a big game this weekend, and it's a big game because Lancaster kept in touch, and a great result. Grantham Town 0, Lancaster City 3. A phenomenal result, that, for Lancaster at the South Stephen Stadium, where Grantham are pretty good. Their home record's been pretty good this season. So a great result, that, for Lancaster City. Good opportunity, this, to welcome back Mark Fell to the show. And I caught up with Mark, manager at Lancaster City, on Friday. So, Mark, a big thank you for joining us, and a big welcome back to the show. And a fantastic result last weekend at Grantham, and heading into 2020, good and proper, second in the league, very much fighting for the title. Things are going really well, it looks like, at the Giant Axe.
Well, we're safe, and that was the first job, to get safe. So we've got, I think we've got 45 points, so that means that we're going to be in the division, at least in this division next year, which is a great thing, because I think the bookmakers and probably everybody, you know, on forums and social media and this podcast and everything else probably assumed that we would be, I think you had us down as 14th, 15th, I think you had us down as. So yeah, from that perspective, unbelievable, really. And we're now in a place where, I spoke to you in November, I think I spoke to you before we went to South Shields last time, and I said, well, why not? Why should we not back ourselves to be up there? And we're now sort of a couple of months after that, and we're still just about there or thereabouts. So yeah, fantastic season for us, you know, it really has been. And the longer we can, you know, make this run continue, and the longer we can keep picking points up and staying in around it, you know, it potentially could be even better than we could have possibly hoped for.
I've got to go back into the archive, but I'm trying to remember 14th, 15th, but it was a very close playoff race, in all fairness. I think you just missed out on the playoffs by a couple of points, I think, if memory serves, Matt. But anyway, back to where we are now, and a big game this weekend. I mean, it's the biggest game of the season, I think. Lancaster against South Shields. How's preparations going heading into this one?
Yeah, good. And obviously great from our perspective to be in, you know, to be discussed like that. You know, we're in the biggest game of the season so far, potentially. Us and South Shields, first and second. I think just to be in those sort of discussions and on people's lips, and, you know, people around sort of non-league looking at this and thinking, God, that's a big game, you know, at the Giant Axe this weekend. And our job has been to try and get, you know, people through the gate and to try and make sure that we capitalise as much as we can off the pitch as well on the success that we're having on the pitch. So prep's been good. We've done what we always do. You know, we're footballers are creatures of habit, and I believe that. And I believe that, you know, we don't try and change too much. So we've sort of done some repetition work. We've done some work on how we play and how we continue to play and how we will continue to play. We've managed to get Jack Armour in from Preston on loan, which is fantastic for us because he was brilliant first sort of 3-4 months of the season. He had a big contribution to how well we did. So it's great to have him back here. He trained with us last night. We've a couple of knocks and niggles, but a couple of knocks and niggles for everybody, I think, at the moment, just because we're at the back end of a really busy sort of Christmas period. And, you know, lads are just trying to shed a few pounds still from Christmas. And, you know, we've got a couple of players that we need to monitor for tomorrow, but we're not going to be a million miles away from where we need to be from a squad strength perspective when we host them tomorrow.
And obviously, as we head towards February and that, I mean, there's a good chance Lancaster City are going to remain up towards the top end, certainly over the next few weeks and all that. But at what point do you start to go from, you know, talking about predictions at the start of the season to where we're heading now towards April, where, you know, you are in the mix? I mean, how do you make that transition? So thinking this is possible and keeping a lid on it at the same time.
Well, I'm already there in my head, you know. In my head, we deserve to be where we, of course, we deserve to be where we are. It's January. There's no flukes now, you know. So the lads believe it as well. You know, the club, we've got a bit of catching up to do from an infrastructure perspective, and we know that. And I think, it's a scary proposition potentially for us to progress into the National League North from the club's perspective, because we haven't got the backing financially, and we haven't got probably the amount of skills and expertise and bodies in the background that we need to get. But we're working on that. From my perspective, we carry on by not I said it before, not changing what we do, but having a realisation that we are in the mix here. We have got an opportunity. You know, I've said it before that at some point you've got to stop and say, well, stop talking about us as, and that's from me as well, not just, you know, press and media and everybody else, but stop talking about us like we are a team that doesn't belong to be here, because we've earned that. We've earned that right. So in my head, we've got a great opportunity. We need to continue to do what we're doing. We need to try and strengthen if we can, because although I'm really happy with the squad that we've got, I'm looking around, looking at other sort of teams in and around us. We're just trying to get that extra little bit at the moment. And, you know, it's for my job to go and knock on the chairman's door and say, hey, come on, can we have X, Y and Z? Because I want to bring 1, 2, 3 players in to try and potentially get us over the line. So, yeah, I think our mentality from a football perspective at the club is there. the job is to keep that going and see where we end up. We've got a really tough month, actually. I think we've got Warrington, we've got obviously South Shields, we've got Warrington to play here at the Giant Axe. I'm saying here because I'm literally sat outside at the moment. They won't let me in. We've got Warrington to come. We've got to go to Radcliffe. We've got Ashton, who they're never going to stay down where they are with the team that they've got and the manager that they've got. So, you know, that's going to be tough. And if we can get through the back end of the next maybe three, four, 5 weeks and get in towards the last sort of month or 6 weeks of the season with, you know, still where we are, then we'll back ourselves to go and have a real go at it. Because I said to our local press today that from a South Shields perspective, they are the team that everybody's after, aren't they? You know, the team that are expected to go up. They're the team that everybody's looking to try and dislodge, and everybody raises the game to them. So, you know, whilst I was one of the ones at the start of the season that believed that they would be promoted probably by now and probably be 10, 20 points clear by now, it's not worked that way, and football doesn't work that way. So we'll back ourselves tomorrow to go and give it a good go. We'll keep playing the underdog card for a little bit longer, but eventually we've got to say, no, that's not what we are. We're a team that is there by right and needs to be regarded that way.
So Mark Fell there, manager of Lancaster City. And as you rightly say, James, earlier, it does set up, that win against Grantham does set up a mouth-watering, top-of-the-table clash, Lancaster City hosting South Shields at the Giant Axe on Saturday.
Yeah, and he's looking at the form going into it as well. You're looking at a really close game. Not to say it's going to decide a title, but you are looking at a proper six-pointer for the lead. Lancaster can't go on top of the league unless he wins 7 or 8 nil. On the day, but if there's a match of the week, it's going to be that one there.
Just to clarify, James, because you said they need to win about 7-0, just 4-0 will do it, because Lancaster have got a better goals for record. So just 4-0 will do it for Lancaster. So that's the target. How mad would that be if Lancaster beat South Shields 4-0? Stranger things have happened, though. It's going to be a mouth-watering occasion, that one at the Giant Axe, and hopefully a big crowd down there as well. Basford United have moved into third position with FC United not in action. Basford were 3-0 winners over Bamber Bridge. That sees Basford maintain their six-point gap between themselves and South Shields. They're 3 points behind Lancaster City, incidentally, and they have two games in hand. A big result, that one, because Bamber Bridge were in good form.
Basically starting to look like a little bit more one of them teams that you're really going to have to worry about if you're playing against them.
And you know what, James? I'm going to christen this Saturday Boom Banger Bang Saturday. Yes, dear listener, it's back, because obviously we've touched upon Lancaster City hosting South Shields, but if you come to the headphones a bit closer, come to the speaker a bit closer, this weekend, Stalybridge Celtic, currently sitting sixth, host Basford United. It's a phenomenal game, that one as well. Just 5 points separating the two sides. And it wasn't the best of weekends for Stalybridge Celtic. They were beaten 3-0 by Atherton Colls. That saw Stalybridge Celtic drop out of the playoff positions. At the same time, Warrington Town beat Radcliffe by 1-0. That sees Warrington back in the playoffs. And given what we said last week about, you know, it's not quite clicking at the moment. Warrington have turned into the draw specialists. That's a vitally important win there. And their first win for a while, Warrington.
It was a very scrappy game as well. Really scrappy, all that decided it, really, if I'm being honest. But Warrington Town getting back on form. And again, they're a form side at this moment. I'm always saying about the draws, but it's better to pick up the points than losing games. Unbeaten them four. Win's great, but obviously on an unbeaten run at this moment in time, and the next couple of games is going to be crucial for Warrington's keeping that playoff race.
Well, it's a big weekend for Warrington. Warrington are travelling to Stafford Rangers, and with FC United travelling to Whitby. Tough away, that one. Basford playing Stalybridge Celtic, so someone's going to drop points there. And Lancaster City taking on South Shields, someone's going to drop points there. It's a big weekend for Warrington. They could close the gap there, but Stafford Rangers aren't going to be easy, and more on the bottom end of the table shortly. But just some other results from last week. And Nantwich Town drew 1-1 with Scarborough. It's away at the Flamingo Land Stadium. I'm gonna suggest that's a good result for Nantwich, given Scarborough's form recently.
I'd say it's a good result for both of them there. So it's obviously Nantwich, just to keep on that pressure as well. Again, points this time of the season are more crucial than ever. But Scarborough, again, just proved themselves against the highest opponent and still got that capability of going for a great playoff push.
Let's get back to some interviews then. And currently sitting Ninth in the league table is Hyde United. They were beaten, though, on Saturday by Whitby Town. Whitby Town in 12th position, 8 points from the playoffs, but they do have 4 games in hand over Warrington Town. They've got 6 games in hand over Stalybridge Celtic. They've got 3 games in hand over FC United. What I'm trying to say is they might be 12th, but they've got games in hand, dear listener. And for more now on Whitby Town on Friday, I caught up with their manager. It's a welcome return to the show to Chris Hardy. Well, Chris, a big thank you for joining us and Happy New Year to you. And a big congratulations for that fantastic result at Hyde last Saturday. Quite a performance put in there.
Yeah, very impressive. Clean sheet, obviously goals to boot. So, again, loads and loads of reasons to be pleased with that one.
And you're on a bit of a roll at the moment now, aren't you? That's 4 games unbeaten now, 3 wins in the last 4. So that side of things going quite well too.
Yeah, definitely. I think from the point of view of being on a roll, as I keep making reference to, week in, week out, this is a very competitive league. The games are nip and tuck, 50-50 games more often than not. So sometimes I think when you go on a bad run, you can understand the reasons why. And sometimes when you go on a good run, you can equally understand the reasons why. It's a very strange old league.
No, it really is a strange old league. I mean, 8 points now from the playoffs. You've got 4 games in hand over Warrington, who've got that 5th spot at the moment. It is true what you're saying, because there was a period, wasn't there, about a month or so ago, where it was looking like Whitby were just dropping down ever so slightly, just not really getting any run of form going. And then 4 results later, I'm going to ask you this question. You've got these games in hand now, so what are you capable of?
Well, I think from the point of view of winning games of football, what it naturally encourages you to do is look up the league, and that's what we're doing at the moment. But equally, losing games of football has you consciously looking down the league. So in the moment, we are positive, we're confident in what we're doing. I think we'll need to be all these things going into Saturday. But again, it's, results tend to dictate moods, and we've got a fairly confident mood at the moment.
And how's the squad shaping up as we head into this next phase of the season? It looks like you've been recruiting quite well recently. So how's the squad shaping up for the next few months, do you feel?
Yeah, up until yesterday, I feel the squad is shaping up quite well. We've agreed a loan extension for Paul Blackett, who I think's made a big difference since coming in. He seems to give us that number 9 that likes to get on the shoulder and go beyond. And he's finding the target at the moment, so that's a big positive. The return to fitness for Dale Hobson, he goes into the squad for Saturday. Cal Patton has come back in from a month's loan, successful loan, where he's got game time. So he's obviously looking to make an impact. Brad Fuster he's maybe at 70% full capacity training at the moment. So we're hoping the next few weeks, providing no setbacks, that'll have him in and around the group. So I think, like you say, prior to yesterday, I'm really pleased with how the squad's shaping up. We seem to be getting everybody off the treatment table. And then we got some bad news last night. Brad Mills has got a hairline fracture in his shin bone. So that'll probably rule him out for the season. So that's the only real blow. But other than that, like you say, we're pretty pleased with the way things are shaping up.
I was going to ask you about Paul Blackett, actually, because it's interesting what's happening tomorrow, because obviously it's FC United coming to the Turnbull, and it'll be the battle of the number 9s, it looks like. Blackett against Owalabi. Both are on fire at the moment.
Yeah, the kid at FC United, obviously, is getting a lot of plaudits. Paul's only been with us for a month. I don't think he's done an awful lot before that. He's been in and out of the Gateshead side. But he, like you say, he's found form, and he looks like a goal scorer. I think we can certainly facilitate him with game time and exposure. But certainly a talented player, and one that hopefully as well, will coincide nicely to allow Mr. Fuster to come back into the frame as and when fit.
And that obviously that's at one end of the pitch. At the other end, you've got Shane Bland, who recently made his 250th appearance for the club. That's quite an accolade there for Shane.
Yeah, absolutely. For a player, in my opinion, that deserves accolades. He's a top bloke. He's a fantastic goalkeeper. I honestly believe he's as good as there is at the level. So, like you say, for Shane to be fit and available and and putting a Whitby shirt on, that's a real positive for ourselves.
And finally then, Chris, obviously it's Whitby against FC United on Saturday. Going to be a big crowd at this one. What's your message to that home support?
Just keep turning up, and hopefully the boys can keep producing performances that want results. It's the old adage, isn't it? You know, fans and players coming together and creating that 12th man.
Chris Hardy there, manager of Whitby Town. Whitby Town with a fantastic result there at Ewan Fields on Saturday, 2-0. And a demonstration there that Whitby, even though they're in mid-table, James, they're not to be trifled with.
Yeah, obviously Chris Hardy's done a little bit of a rebuild job over the last couple of weeks, and it's paying off a little bit. I don't seem to be able to get a home win from anywhere at this moment as well.
Also sitting in mid-table land at the moment, but we mentioned Whitby Town having games in hand. Morpeth Town have a game in hand on Whitby, and they're on 31 points, sitting 13th in the league table. A fantastic result for Morpeth on Saturday, beating Buxton, and coming from behind to beat Buxton as well. 2-0 down after 20 minutes at Silverlands. Morpeth Town winning 3-2 in the end, with Jack Fole scoring a hat-trick there. A fantastic result for Morpeth Town. That was a fantastic game of football there at Silverlands, and Morpeth did really, really well to get all 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much a highlight of the weekend there, because if you include the first divisions, there were quite a few hat-tricks taking place across the league, including, we'll come to the Carlton game in a second, really. But, Morpeth making up a bit for lost time, but again, the fixtures are starting to pile up on him with the integral game getting called off midweek. It's just more of the case now, kind of keep fit for the next 6 weeks with the games and County Cup starting to build up on him.
Let's talk about the bottom end of the table then. And earlier we mentioned Atherton Cole's fantastic 3-0 victory over Stalybridge Celtic. And that sees Atherton Cole's now 7 points from the automatic relegation places, 3 points above Buxton in that, what are we calling that third spot? The playoff relegation?
The AGM Cup. Always the AGM Cup.
All right. It's not really AGM Cup, though, is it? Because there's no mystery about it. It's pretty scientific. The mathematical AGM Cup spot, that is 20th. Atherton Cole's there, moving 3 points ahead of that. And it was an important win for Atherton Cole's, given the fact that there were two victories down towards the bottom end. Firstly, Gainsborough Trinity 3, Witton Albion 1. What a result that is for Curtis Woodhouse's side. And on Friday, I caught up with Curtis for more on that fantastic result there at home to Witton. Curtis, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations. The unbeaten run continues, and it's quite a run you're on at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the lads have been different class.
Not beating around the bush. We've not had a great start to the season to find ourselves in the bottom three is not really acceptable for Gainsborough Trinity. So, yeah, a lot of credit to the lads for dragging ourselves out of that bottom three. But, you know, we still have a long, long, long way to go. You know, we're only out there on goal difference. But, yeah, we've put a great run together. And whenever you're in the bottom, the relegation zone, to go 6 games unbeaten is not easy. So, yeah, the lads deserve a lot of credit.
Now, obviously, when you came in, you had the new management bounce, but it was, I mean, the last time we spoke, we were talking about the fact that you're changing the squad around. You're still making those changes occasionally. So, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, to come midway through a season, hit the ground running, and get that run. So you must be pleased that run is has started now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the hardest thing has been, obviously, to come into a new club that's in the relegation zone, to address the squad. You know, I instantly knew straight away that the squad wasn't good enough. I thought the squad that I had when I got there would have got relegated. So we had to change the squad, change the personnel, and on top of that, get results as well. So it's a real difficult blend to get. And yeah, I kind of feel like we've come through the fog a little bit, and now we've got a little bit of a settled squad with, I think, we've got 8 new signings, players that kind of I like. And yeah, we're heading in the right direction. But yeah, I'm not going to lie, it's been very, very difficult.
And unfortunately for other clubs in the league, that means that other clubs are being dragged in, and you're now 3 points behind the likes of Grantham and Atherton Cole's. The more the merrier, I'm going to suggest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We want to drag as many in there as we possibly can. You know, I looked at the form chart the other day. You know, in the last 6 games, we've got the fourth best form in the league. And like you said, if we hadn't have put that run together, we'd be well cut adrift, because teams down there are winning. And like I said, we've dragged there with us. Grantham are in there with us. Bamber Bridge are catchable now. You know, so there's a few in there that we want to drag in. But the main thing for us is to stay out of that bottom three. And at the minute, we're fourth from bottom, and we're out there on goal difference at the minute. So we'll take it. But, you know, we've still got half of the season to go. I've told the lads, you know, our aim is to continue with the form that we're in, and let's see where it takes us, and hopefully give a couple of months, and the relegation fight will just be a distant memory.
Well, the next game is it's a tough game, Radcliffe away. Yeah. But that said, it's a tough game for Radcliffe as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, we respect everybody in this league. There's a lot of good sides, but we fear absolutely nobody. You know, no one's given us a good going over yet. You know, my first game, we went to FC United. We were flying, very, very good side, and got a 2-2 draw. You know, so we've played a lot of the good sides, and like I said, no one's really, when I've come off thinking, blooming heck, we've been battered there. No one's done that to us yet. So, yeah, like I said, we're going to a Radcliffe game, you know, probably on paper with the underdogs, you know, they're the playoff spots. But, like I said, we'll give anybody a game if we continue doing what we're doing.
And I touched upon the recruitment side and the changing of the squad and that kind of thing. I mean, there has been a few debutants in the last month or so. Are you nearly there now, do you think, with the squad that you're happy with, that heading into 2020 good and proper?
Yeah, absolutely. We lost Mitchell Dunn yesterday, who said he wanted to move on. I brought Mitchell Dunn in from Sheffield FC, and it looks like he's going back there. So disappointed to lose Mitchell. He found himself, you know, in and out of the team, really, and he can probably feel hard done by that he's not being given a better run in the side by myself. So whatever he's played for, he's done well. He's scored some important goals. So, yeah, I'm disappointed to lose Mitchell, but, you know, respect his decisions that he wants to play regular and a little bit closer to home as well. So disappointed to lose Mitchell. But regarding incomings, you know, unless we get any injuries, I think we're about done, really. So, yeah, I'm happy with the squad. It's good enough to get us out of the trouble we're in. And then next year, you know, I'm hoping to put a squad together that can hopefully, you know, get us out of this division.
And finally, then, Curtis, obviously it's going to be a really interesting and entertaining running, that's for sure. But the coming games, obviously we spoke about Radcliffe, the big game next week against Atherton Colls, and obviously Basford coming to North Holme shortly too. What's your final message to the Gainsborough faithful?
Just get behind us, you know. I mean, the atmosphere for our last home game was brilliant. You know, the best atmosphere since I've been manager. They really loved what we were doing. We played some good football at times in difficult circumstances, so we have a responsibility to give them something to cheer about. But all I'm asking for the fans is exactly what I'm asking from the players. You know, same again. You know, they've been different class, and the players have rewarded them with good performances. So, team effort. We all need to bang at it to get us out of the trouble. So, we need them as much as they need us.
Curtis Woodhouse there, manager of Gainsborough Trinity. And James, as we discussed there, that sees Gainsborough move to fourth bottom now in the league table. They do have games in hand over Buxton as well, and they're 2 points behind Matlock, 3 points behind Grantham with a game in hand, and 3 points behind Atherton Colls. So a big move that for Gainsborough.
Yeah, my main talk about there for Gainsborough is that they're 6 unbeaten now as well. Curtis has made a massive turnaround there, and he's still looking to migrate a lot of his team. Gainsborough, like they were struggling at the start of the season, they've turned it around massively now.
And finally, for results down the bottom end, obviously it was a big weekend for the bottom two going head-to-head, and Ashton United won by 2-1. Michael Brewster getting the all-important winner with 4 minutes of time left to play. We've not had Michael Clegg on for a while at Ashton United, so let's hear from Michael now.
Yeah, it was a good win. First half wasn't great. Two nervous sides not wanting to lose. We went in a goal down off an unbelievable free kick, really worthy of winning any game. But second half, thought, was really good. Up the intensity, created a lot of chances, and we ran out worthy winners, really.
And obviously the winner comes on the 86th minute from Michael Brewster, one of your signings, of course. And what was that feeling like when that went in?
Obviously, it was more relief than anything, because it's been a really tough start. Obviously, we had the Stafford and I think we had 3 games called off in December. So it ended up that we played the top 4, really, in my first 4 games, which was really tough, especially in a time where you're trying to find your own way and and put your own stamp on things because these are good teams. And I think we was unfortunate in them because we did really well against FC, was unlucky to lose, and then the red card, what led to the goal in the last second of the game, was rescinded after the game. So theoretically, we were good for a point that day. And then we drew away at Stalybridge 0-0, and they were sandwiched either side of a 3-2 at Basford and a 2-0 at home to South Shields, who, to be honest, was head and shoulders above us on the day. But the other three games, we've done all right.
I mean, I was going to mention that the run of games that you had, because we touched upon it last week on the monthly show, just how ridiculous it was, really. You having to, you know, play the likes of FC United and Basford and Radcliffe and South Shields, obviously. So, I mean, it's been a tough run. So how difficult is that to basically, you know, keep your head down and go that we will get some games at the moment where it's going to be more tough than not?
Well, I think it's more a case of being realistic. Obviously, there was expectations at start of the season and they fell well below that this group. So we've gone in and our formula isn't something that'll probably change things overnight. It's come through a lot of fitness, a lot of graft. We do a lot of work behind the scenes on videoing and analysis. So trying to get them points across whilst trying to cope with a couple of lads on loan, couple of lads injured, you're looking, bring a couple of lads in. So in reality, really, you'd have been a lot more stressed if you'd have played the four bottom teams and have lost them four in your bedding in period. So, it has its positives and its negatives, but The group's in really good spirits. We've got a really good squad. It's up to us to find the right formula to win games. And that's what we're doing. And to be honest, we're working round the clock to put that right.
I was going to ask you about the inclusions, because obviously you didn't really have that much wriggle room when you got there, but you've brought in some cracky players like we touched upon. Michael Brewster, the goalkeeper, is up there as one of the best in the league, in my opinion. So, you know, how important have those signings been to that mix that you already had?
They've been critical, because I think as well, we've brought three in straight away that understand how we want to work. So first and foremost, they're familiar with what we want, and kind of you can portray some things through them to the rest of the squad. So they've been really good. Ben's missed a couple of good chances in games at crucial times, but his general play has been good, and he's getting there and he's fitting in with obviously some very good players at Ashton. We've tried to up fitness levels, because where we was before, we that's key to how we work. So over December again, when games were called off, we put it to good use. So we've not been sat around sulking. We've been working hard, and we were under no illusions we were going to go in and just win 10 on the bounce. I keep hearing people say that, oh, win a game, you go on a really good big run. It's just not going to happen that this year. We're going to have to dig in, grind wins out, and hopefully now our aim is, which is mad to say it, is avoid relegation, because I was in the away dressing room on the first day of the season with Allerton Coles at Ashton, and the buzz about the place, and they wanted to win the league and stuff. I'm obviously now the manager, and now we're fighting relegation. So it's been a whirlwind few months for them. But we will get it right. We've got some good players. We've got some good fixtures coming up where fancy us to take points. So we've just got to stay positive, and we will. And I think we're just over halfway of the season. I think we've got 22, 23 games left. There's a lot of football to be played. And I think the biggest example of that is when, with Coles early in the year, I went to Stalybridge and we beat them 2-1. And Si and Robbo was under a lot of pressure that day, because I was speaking to them after. And then I think they won 11 out of the next 13. So it just to prove that it can turn around quickly.
And I was going to add about the games in hand as well, because that's pretty crucial, isn't it? I mean, you're 4 points behind Buxton with four games in hand. You're 4 points behind Gainsborough with two games in hand. You're 6 points behind Matlock with a game in hand. So, I mean, we're going to hear from Curtis Woodhouse this week. I mean, it is a case of the more the merrier. The more wins you get, the more teams you could drag in there, and the less pressure there is, and the more time you get to perform.
Well, that's it. I think, like, obviously over Christmas, had a few of the teams at the bottom have kind of played each other. Then you've had like a couple of results where Bamber have gone and got a last-minute winner at Lancaster, a last-minute draw against Warrington, and Coles have been on a really good run since I left and stuff. So people have gone on good runs. So, but I think we've got some games coming up that we just have to win. It's just as simple as that, I think. We've got, it's like last night training, you're looking round and you think, how are you even in this position? But we are for a reason. But we've got some good players, and now there's pressure on the staff to get it right now, and I think we will do that.
And three interesting games coming up, to say the least. Lancaster City next Saturday. You've got a midweek game away at Radcliffe on Tuesday, and obviously Morpeth away tomorrow. So I'm not going to ask you what your target is, but it is still back against the wall. But like you said, that performance against Stalybridge with the draw and the performance against FC United, the quality is there to make an impact against these three sides this week.
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, we've already played Morpeth twice with Atherton this year, so we know all about them. They're a damn good side, and they win the games in hand, and they're right up there, and that's for a reason. So that's going to be tough tomorrow. We're under no illusions. Radcliffe, we know a lot about them. I've been watching them. I know a lot of the lads. That's obviously going to be a tough game as well. But for us at the moment, it's just about looking at that next game. How do we go and apply ourselves? How do we make it hard for the other team? Can we outwork them? And just all the basics. So Radcliffe's not even on the agenda yet. It's about having a good day tomorrow, being solid, being hard to beat. And I'm sure we could have a good day.
Michael Clegg there, manager of Aston United, joining us here on the MPL show. An important victory that on Saturday against Stafford Rangers, and we'll be returning to that relegation battle shortly, as we're going to be joined by Mark Carruthers from the North East Non-League Football Show, who will be perusing with me the Premier Division fixtures for this weekend. But James, just before we go, you mentioned Carlton Town in the South East Division. They had quite an interesting game with Wishbeach.
What a cracking match that was there. 6-4 for Carlton. Carlton are a bit on form at the moment in the South East Division too. Wishbeach fighting in a good little relegation battle too. If you watch the highlights for this game, if Wishbeach 2 up after 20 minutes, call back to 2-0 and then just...
They clawed it back within right on half time. Two goals on 45 minutes and into stoppage time in the first half. Quite a performance. And then Carlton Town take the lead within 4 minutes of the second half kicking off. Then it's 4-2, and then Wishbeach get back into it with 20-odd minutes left to play. And then Carlton Town stretch their legs, and it's 5-3, and then there's two goals right at the end to make it 6-4. Ridiculous, but well played, everyone. Superb stuff there in the South East Division. James, that's our bit of the show done and dusted. Any bits of housekeeping before you go?
Just keep your eye on the social media for Saturday. The draw for the last 16 of the Integral will be revealed Saturday.
Yes.
Maybe around 7 o'clock-ish, unless we might bring out earlier, not before the full-time whistles.
Okie dokie. Well, look out for that one on Saturday via league social media channels and, of course, the league website. But James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Always, man. Thank you very much.
So, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But as we head into the third week of January, it's now time to wish a Happy New Year to Mr. Mark Carruthers. Hello, Happy New Year, Mark.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. All the best, everyone.
Happy New Year. When do we stop saying Happy New Year, incidentally, do you think?
I think probably once you've said it to everyone you know.
Okay.
I think then you can. So, what about April?
Right, just to let, probably getting Andrew Snaith on in the final week of January, so I think that's when I'll stop saying it. So, Andrew Snaith from Yorkshire Coast Radio, you're getting... Oh, no, I'm seeing him this weekend, aren't I? Of course. It'll be Thomas Feeney then. He'll be the last one to get the Happy New Year treatment, and that'll be next week. So something to really look forward to. But speaking of some things to look forward to this weekend, and it's a mammoth weekend. There's big games happening all over the place. Shall we start with the big one up at the top, Lancaster against South Shields? We heard from Matt Fell earlier. What's your general sense on how South Shields are shaping up heading into this one?
Yeah, got in good form. Obviously, won the last three. Had a little bit of a hiccup over Christmas. They've had a bit of a rejig of their squad. A couple of players have gone, and they've brought in. So obviously, Sefton Gonzalez has gone there. Who, I'll be honest, when that signing was announced, I thought it was a bit of an out there one for South Shields. He's not the sort of player you would associate with their style of play, being more of a target man figure. But has settled in very, very well. Scored twice last week. In that win over Michalova, seems to have become a bit of a cult hero at Mariners Park, and someone that offers them something a bit different. But front, they've got someone who's banging form at the minute, and Jason Gilchrist as well, someone obviously you know very well. They're looking good going forward. They seem to have got their mojo back defensively as well. They've found a good setup at the back, and they're just looking more solid. I know, as I say, they had a bit of a sticky patch over Christmas. They had that defeat at Whitby, they drew against Warrington, got beat at Lancaster, got beat at Witten. So they've had a bit of a sticky spell, but I think they're coming through that and just hitting form at the right time. And the new additions to the squad, I think, will help them kick on again. But as we always say, obviously going to Lancaster is never an easy place to go.
No, absolutely not. But tantalisingly for the teams beneath South Shields and Lancaster City, they know that at least one of those teams above them will be dropping points. And the team currently sitting in third position is Basford United. And this is the other big game of the day. They're travelling to Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge currently sitting 2 points outside the playoffs. Obviously, I've not spoken to Simon Howarth in a good few weeks now, but I'm imagining he's saying we weren't planning on getting to the playoffs this season anyway. But that now they're there or thereabouts, they're going to want a win against Basford, aren't they? So this is difficult for Steve Chettle's side.
It is, and I think Stalybridge's need to win this one's probably greater than Basford. I think they could probably get away with not taking 3 points. Not that they'll want to, obviously they will want to win. But Stalybridge, I think, have hit a bit of a sticky patches at one win the last six, I think it is. So they have aspirations of the playoffs now because, as you say quite rightly, they weren't expected to be there or thereabouts, but they are. And we are in the second half of the season now, so what better way to kind of hammer home those credentials than beating a side who've been flying?
And when it comes to the team currently sitting in fourth, that's FC United. They were flying, but Obviously they travelled to Barrow, and you know, I was there, just to say. And don't worry though, everyone. I know it was a very wet day, but I was behind glass, and that was the most important. That was lovely. But FC United, it was a bit of a thumping they got at Barrow. And they've got to go on the road again, travelling this time to Whitby Town. It's a tough one, this one, I think, for FC.
It is, and I get what you're saying. But for me last week, I think that game at Barrow was a bit of a free hit. I know, obviously, FC United fans and the management won't see it that way. But Barrow, with the season they've been having, well, it was going to be outsiders, FC United. So I think, yes, the result wasn't great and the manner of the defeat wasn't great. But looking at the league form, you know, getting back to business now, getting back to the old, the cliche of the old bread and butter, the most informed side in the league, won the last six, scoring goals left, right and centre, have, you know, the top goal scorer in the league in Olabi. So I think this one, although Whitby, we always again say it is going to be a difficult place to go, a difficult test. I just can't see FC United not winning this one.
Oh, you see what he did there, dear listener? He jinxed it for me, didn't he? He did.
Sorry.
But for Whitby, though, I'm going to balance this out. For Whitby, though, they're 8 points from the playoffs. And, you know, we heard from Chris Hardy earlier, they've got four games in hand. So, you know, I mean, you might as well throw Morpeth into this as well, because Morpeth have actually got games in hand on Whitby. So, I mean, it's these two in mid-table, it's going to be an interesting few weeks for them.
And I've been looking at those two as well, and you look at the sides above them, and all it takes is a couple of wins, and all of a sudden they're going to be on the verge of the playoffs and probably still have games in hand. And I look at the quality of those two squads. I know we'll talk about Morpeth in a minute, so I'll not focus on them yet, but certainly Whitby have got the calibre of player in that squad that can get them into that top five and really challenge. If they've got a big enough squad might be the issue, because obviously these games are piling up now and we are getting towards what is already mid-January. So it's going to be a lot of games in a short space of time. Hopefully, for Whitby's sake, they will have a squad that can manage with that. Because if they can, they've certainly got the calibre of player that can help them get into that top five.
Let's go back to the top five then and talk, the current top five, that is, and talk about the team currently sitting in fifth, who've leapfrogged their way into the playoffs last weekend with an important win, because they were having a lot of draws, weren't they, Warrington Town? They're travelling to Stafford Rangers this weekend. And for Stafford, 10 points to safety, and I mean it's getting a bit iffy for Stafford, and you know this is a difficult game, but if they get anything out of this game, then it's back on again, isn't it, for Stafford?
Yeah, a point would be a bonus, but it is looking ominous, and it's getting to the stage where you're saying, you know, it's now or never for Stafford Rangers. And I say this every time they come on here. It is genuinely sad to see a club of that size, a club that in the not too distant past were, you know, mixing it with the top sides in non-league football, to see them where they are now is disappointing. But this game, I think, again, Warrington's need to win this game to really enhance their playoff chances. I think they'll win. I think they've got the quality in the squad. You know, they're dangerous going forward. They're looking solid at the back. They're always tough to beat. And I think they'll just have too much.
And when it comes to the next game that we're going to talk about, that involves Nantwich Town, who are currently sitting in seventh. Nantwich Town will be hosting Hyde United. We heard from Berkey last week, obviously, on the monthly show, and Hyde United above his own expectations for what they could achieve this season. It's a youngish squad. Hyde United have played more games than anyone else in the league, as well as Scarborough and Bamber Bridge. 26 games played thus far this season compared to Nantwich Town's 22. So a win for Nantwich and a defeat for Hyde, and suddenly it's looking a bit less likely they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yes, I think this one, it is a case of that. You know, Nantwich, if they get the win here, Hyde all of a sudden, the chances of getting the playoffs is, you know, it's looking unlikely. I would never rule it out because they have got, as you said earlier, a talented young squad. They are performed above expectations. I don't think anyone saw them really challenging for the playoffs. But again, I think Nantwich, looking at how they play, looking at the fact that they do tend to get results at the right time, I think Nantwich will sneak this one.
And it's interesting where Nantwich are. I mean, we talked about Whitby and Morpeth, but Nantwich are in seventh. And, you know, we discussed it last week. They're not really featuring in anyone's conversations at the moment outside of Nantwich because of the cup competitions. They were behind everyone else with games and stuff. But they're creeping up there now, aren't they? And they're there, poised, aren't they, just outside the playoffs.
But do you not find this has been a bit of a pattern over the last few years with Nantwich, where there's always other teams that people focus on, and Nantwich just quietly go about the business. And I love that. No matter who's been in charge, no matter what players they've had, the club just quietly go about the business. They have these cup runs. They have these exciting cup runs. They're always there or thereabouts in the top half of the table. I think they could be the ones that will get in there in the last minute and really take advantage of these games in hand and really push. I mean, you look at the sides above them. Lancaster played 25. Warrington played 23. So they've got games in hand on those two straight away. And Baseford. I really do think Nantwich, with the pace and the power in their side, that they could be the ones that will get in the playoffs. And if they make that late run, there's always a side makes a late run in the playoffs and then are very, very dangerous in there. And I think they could be the ones.
There's another team who are on 35 points after 22 games, and that's Radcliffe. Radcliffe will be hosting Gainsborough Trinity this weekend. And we heard from Curtis Woodhouse earlier. Gainsborough have been we mentioned how quietly Nantwich get on with things, but Gainsborough have been getting on with things as well, haven't they, recently? This is a tough game for Radcliffe.
They have, because, you know, Curtis took his... he hasn't taken his time, but it's taken a few games for him to get his style over to his players and his way of playing. And as you say, quite rightly, they've won three of the last four. I think they're unbeaten in the last six. So what may have looked a fairly winnable game for Radcliffe a few weeks back is suddenly a very difficult game. And I think I've got a sneaking feeling for Gainsborough in this one. I don't know why, but I think they might sneak it 2-1.
And that's that would be a very big result for the relegation spots as obviously, you know, we talked about Stafford Rangers. Gainsborough Trinity are starting to claw in a few other clubs now, and you know, there's a few clubs looking over their shoulders. One of those clubs is Grantham Town. They'll be travelling to 10th place Michelover Sports. Firstly, Michelover Sports, they gave South Shields a bit of a fright, didn't they, last weekend?
They certainly did, yeah.
I mean, we mentioned Hyde United being above expectations and Stalybridge Celtic. John McGrath's going to be blown away with how good Michelover have been this season. For Grantham, they're 3 points now above Buxton, who in that relegation playoff-y best winner. I've still not worked out a title for it. You know what I'm talking about. The team who are third bottom, the best... I don't know how to describe that. Have you got a term for it? You write stuff for the non-league paper. What would you call it, that third spot?
That would be a relegation playoff spot, I guess.
There's no playoff though at the end. It's so confusing. Let's move on and talk about Grantham. The third bottom spot. Let's talk about Grantham Town, who are just above that third bottom spot, whatever we're calling it, against Michelover Sports.
Yeah, I mean, if I can just go back to McGlover first, if that's all right. I mean, John McGrath, for me, is one of the managers of the season. I think he's done an unbelievable job at McGlover. And when he was appointed, I remember thinking it was a really interesting appointment. And just to see with his connections in the area and in the pro game, what he would do. He's brought in some names. He's brought in some talented younger players as well. And the mix just looks ideal for them. I think they are, as you say, performing above expectations. For Grantham, it's just not really got going this season, which is very disappointing. Their away form in particular has been horrendous. I don't think they've won a game, certainly in the league, have they won away? I don't think they have. I think they've drawn five, lost five. Just quickly got the league table up there to help. But they haven't won away from home, so it's clear that they need to start picking up points on the road. Otherwise, they could well get dragged in now. I mean, they are only 3 points above Buxton, seven above Ashton United, who I think will hit form at some point. So it's one of those ones, this game. They could do with picking something up, but I just don't think they will. I think this will be a McGlover win.
And there's also Scarborough Athletic. They're currently sitting in 11th, and they're taking on Matlock Town, who's sitting in 18th, 2 points above Buxton. Mm-hmm. They do have loads of games in hand, in all fairness to them, with the teams around them. But we heard from Steve Kitchett last week. He wants to take that FA Trophy run into the league. I mean, this is a tough game, though, isn't it? Going back to his old haunts at the Firmingham Stadium.
It certainly is, and it's one of those where I think the FA Trophy, people sometimes dismiss it as a bit of a distraction from the league, and it can, you know, almost harm what you do in the league. But I think with Matlock, there is a need to harness the momentum that run. It's been a great run, hasn't it? It's been fantastic for the club, and it'd be great to see them harness that and really take that in the league campaign. But I just think, yeah, Scarborough at home, I think it's one defeat they've had in the league this season at home. I think it'll be too much again. I think it'll be a Scarborough win this one.
Let's talk about the team currently sitting in that third bottom spot, Buxton. Buxton travelling to Bamber Bridge this weekend. The gap between Buxton and Bamber Bridge is 6 points, and Buxton do have two games in hand. The form's been superb since Gary Haywood has gone into Silverlands. They had a little bump in the road last week in that phenomenal game with Morpeth. Bamber Bridge have been in great form, but they hit a little bump last week as well. So it's interesting who's going to bounce back first.
I think Buxton. I think it seems remarkable when you look at the top goal scorers list that you've got two Buxton players in the top. In the top five, you've got to see Diego Girolamo and Liam Hardy in there. So it seems ridiculous that they've got that many goals on their side, yet they are still where they're on the table. I think, again, they'll be the ones that will pull away. What I would say, I think Bamber Bridge are the last side that will probably have to look over their shoulders. I think Witten and Morpeth and Whitby are just too far ahead. So I think anyone from Bamber down could go down for me. This is why I think this game's so big at the bottom of the table. Buxton, I think, will win it, and that'll drag Bamber right back in.
Now, obviously, speaking of goal scoring and that kind of thing, Bamber Bridge, in the lower half of the table, they've scored the most goals than anyone else, 41 yep. goals. The problem is they've conceded more than anyone else as well. So that's quite a record that they've got there at Bamber Bridge. But you mentioned the goal scoring capability of Buxton. Clearly, Bamber Bridge have got that as well. So it should be quite an interesting game, that one. Hopefully a very entertaining one. Let's talk about some other teams down towards that below 15th. Atherton Coles is another team. They're travelling to Witton Albion.
Yeah, I mean, look at the games now they've got as well. Look at the sides above them. They've got six on the team immediately above them, four on Witton. So I think they'll be all right, I think obviously, having lost the manager in was it December or late November, was a blow. I think they'll have too much. I think they will pull away, and I think they'll start that on Saturday. I think they'll get a win against Witton.
Rightio. Sorry, Simo, if you're listening at home.
Sorry, Simo. I'll get a text. Off Simo tomorrow night.
You will. Let's talk about another team down towards the bottom end, Ashton United. They're travelling. In fact, I think this is the last game we need to talk about. Yes, this is the last game. So one last game to talk about then from this weekend. Ashton United travelling to Morpeth Town. You mentioned Michael Clegg, obviously leaving Atherton Coles. This is a tough test, this one. I mean, they beat Stafford Rangers last week, so they will be on a bit of a high. But Morpeth, we talked about Whitby Town earlier and how close they could be to the playoffs. Morpeth are there as well, aren't they?
They are. And again, I think looking at what transfer business Nicky Gray's done recently, bringing in Carl Finnegan, obviously got Liam Noble in. They've got Jack Robson, who's a very, very promising young winger from the Northern League. He's brought in Callum Williams from Spennymoor, so they've had a real quality with the squad. Ryan Hutchinson joined from Blyth Spartans last week, and he was a big part of why Spartans are in the National League North. Just picked up injuries at the wrong time. So I really think Nicky Gray has done some unbelievable business at Morpeth, and I think they'll be the ones to watch in the second half of the season. Obviously, had a really poor result a couple of weeks ago when they went to Lancaster and got battered there when Lancaster were down to 10 men. That came on the back of the defeat at Scarborough. And it looked as if they're going to be heading towards another defeat at Buxton last week for a big part of that game. But Jack Foley hitting a hat-trick just maybe turned things around. And that could be a big game for them in the season. I think if it went to 3 defeats in a row, there might have been a bit more negativity about the place. But that could be the turning point for them. I think, again, yeah, I think they'll have too much for Ashton. I think Michael Clegg's a great appointment, by the way. I think he'll be the one that will get them out of that bottom two. Knows the area, knows the players in the area, will no doubt strengthen. And I think they can maybe pull away. However, I think Morpeth, looking at what they've got in their squad, they'll just have too much.
Well, it's certainly going to be a very interesting weekend. Not quite pivotal. We're not quite there yet. Still a long way to go, but certainly very, very intriguing, and certainly one of those weekends which many people will be looking back upon and going, that was a weekend of football there in the Northern Premier League. It's certainly going to be a big one. Mark, just before you go, a couple of plugs. We allow you a couple of plugs here on the MPL show. It's part of the fee. Firstly, the book continues to sell really, really well on the FA Vars. And also, you've got an interesting interview in the non-league paper this weekend.
Yeah, just on the book on Northern Goal, looking back at the 12 North East sides that have gone to Wembley and Villa Park in one case and won the FA Vars. Going really well, benefits two charities, the If You Care Share Foundation and the Motor Neuron Disease Association. So that's available on Amazon for $11.99, the paperback, and the digital download version is now $1.99, I think it's gone down to. What was great was over Christmas, it was selling that much that it was on Amazon in the category of English football books. It was 15th in the bestsellers list, which I was quite pleased about. Yeah. Just ahead of Wayne Rees' autobiography. It's tumbled down now. It's somewhere lower. But just for that one or two days, it was quite nice to see it in the top 15, which was good. Yes, and on this weekend's non-league paper, I've done an interview with Gary Forrest, who is West Auckland Town Manager. West Auckland are into the last 16 of the FA Vars, and they've got a nice little short trip just a couple of miles down the road to Plymouth Parkway. I think I worked it out. It was over 780-mile round trip, I think it is, possibly more. It's a trek, basically. So it's Gary talking about his history in the competition, coping with the journey and everything that, you know, the last 16 of the Vars brings. So some fascinating insight from him. He has been this far before. West have been to the final twice before but have never won the competition. So it's going to be an interesting one, just to see the reaction to that interview, because it's very interesting.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us on this week's show, and a big thank you to all our guests for joining us as well. That's it for this week's MPL show. We'll be back next week with a brand new podcast. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.